What's up, guys? I'm Nick. I'm an alcoholic. Justin, thanks for sharing for us. I just got back to Tampa. You know, I got sober in Miami. My friend Teddy, who's one of us, he got me the job that got me back here. And he said, I don't really care about you doing well on the job. You know, I want to hear about you plugging in to AA. And so I was at Yana, and Justin comes up to me, asks me to sponsor him. And it's like, you guys have like a sponsor who like does the shit you tell him to do? Like, you know what that's like? Because like most of them just don't call you when you tell them to call you. And I just expect that at this point, but like every day, you know, like that kind of shit. That's what keeps us sober, right? I got sober on August 7th of 2016. I was 22 years old. I was done. I suck at drinking, guys. I'm not good at it. My sponsor told me, he said, Nick, you're one of the least successful drinkers I've ever seen. I went for 4 years. You know, that's really all it took for me. After that, I was just like, it went past the point of everyone telling me to stop drinking. Because I did that. I tried to get sober doing that. I'll talk about that in a little bit. And it got to a place where I was just so sick of this. And I was so afraid of myself. And I knew that there was really just nothing off the table for me. That I knew there was really only one house left on the block. And the other reason why is because I totally could have been sober so much younger. Because my birth mom, so I'm adopted from birth, right? And my birth mom, her name's Julia. She lives in Miami. I met her at my high school graduation, right? And so it wasn't like a storybook shit. I like told her to come. It wasn't like we didn't just like run into each other, you know? I wrote her a letter and stuff. But like she came with her husband. It was like a whirlwind, got to know each other a little bit. You know, 7 months later, I'm going to Miami to meet her friends. And so she flies me down. She has like a barbecue for me and like all these strangers. Because she's sober. At that point, she had been like 5 years sober. These strangers are like touching my face. They're like, oh my God, he's got the ears, all that bullshit and stuff. And so afterwards, you know, it's me sitting next to her. She turns to me and she says, Nick, you know, I'm an alcoholic. And I'm an Alcoholics Anonymous. And she starts to explain the stuff that she did when she drank. And more importantly, for someone like me, she was explaining the stuff that she did and the way that she felt when she wasn't drinking, right? That obsession to drink. And I was an 18-year-old kid. And I remember, you know, there's two parts of my brain. There's that conscious part of my brain that I like to listen to when I'm trying to act out and kind of be a piece of shit. And then there's the part of my brain that I like to listen to when I'm trying to actually improve as a human being. And like the part of my brain that was talking to me was not the right part of my brain that time. Because that was like, you know, this bitch is crazy. Like, what is happening? Like, she is your ride to the airport, dude. What did you get yourself into? Who is this person? Does she need money? Like, where the fuck am I here? You know, like, that side of my brain saying one thing. But the rationale on the other side was kind of reminding me of certain things, right? Like, who is she telling this to? She's telling this to a boy, an 18-year-old boy, who had been to three high schools. I'd lived in the same house my whole life, so it wasn't because I moved. I went to three high schools because I couldn't get over myself. You know, I got bullied everywhere I went. I got picked on because I couldn't take a joke. You know, and I'm not going to sit here and say it was all my fault. Obviously, there's takes two to tango there, but you know, that was the big part of it for me there. And as a result of that, she was telling this to a boy who, from the age of probably about 14 at that point, had literally thought about killing himself probably every day. Probably every day to an extent. To some extent that it came pretty fucking close, right? And most importantly to the context of this particular story is that she was telling this to a boy who had recently realized at that point that he really, really liked to drink, right? But like you need a resume to be in AA. So like I'm not gonna fucking like listen to her, right? I'm not gonna do anything about this. And so I kept going the way I was going. I was at my first college, which is this little school called Lemoyne in Syracuse. Burned all the bridges the same way there that I had everywhere else. Got on the phone with my mom, like, Waterworks, these kids don't fucking get me. I gotta go somewhere else. Got on the plane, took some tours, ended up at USF. And my therapist actually recommended I rush a fraternity, so you know, it was pretty solid, sound medical advice from him. But I remember waking up the day I got in to the fraternity, and I woke up, and I sat up, and I remember, you know, it talks about in the book, like, that moment where you feel like you've arrived. because I wasn't drunk in that moment, but I felt like I had actually like done something. You know, this is a kid who had never had friends. I'd never had a single friend, at least to me, right? I had like acquaintances here, like a person who I'd talk to here, people who I'd text back and forth with, but I never felt like I had a friend. And now I felt like I had friends. I felt like I made it, right? And I'm like, I'm gonna ride this shit as long as it'll go. And it went about 2 weeks until it started to get bad. I was in Miami for Thanksgiving. Like the plan was, I'm from New York, so like to fly back twice in like a 2 week window doesn't make sense. So I would do Thanksgivings with Julia and her family in Miami, and then I'll go back home for Christmas. And so I was with her and her husband and his family in Miami, and it was a couple days after Christmas and or after Thanksgiving. And I knew my dad was in the hospital, but I didn't know why. And I didn't really care why, because I am selfish by nature. And if it doesn't directly affect me, I'll let it ride. And we'll see what happens. And they're like, we have to Skype. We have to get on a FaceTime thing here. And it's him and my mom sitting next to each other. My mom starts going, she's like, so we wanted to sit you down and talk to you. And my dad like stops her. He's like from Staten Island. So he's like, hey, have you seen Breaking Bad? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I don't know. Cranston was immaculate. I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I have lung cancer. I think I'm going to start selling meth. It's like as a joke. I know it's fucked up. It's okay. So everything changed, you know. Everything changed that day. I went home. I saw him. He was still like doing okay, you know. Hadn't really started treatment or anything. I go back to school, and I'm like hearing him on the phone. I'm 1,200 miles away from my home, listening to my dad basically die on the phone, right? And like, I tell this story because up to this point, I realized how fun alcohol and drinking was, right? Like how fun it is to drink and get fucked up and like party with your friends. But before this, after this, I realized how useful it is for me, for someone like me, right? I wanted to forget this shit. I wanted to fast forward, go to the next day, you know? And I got the phone call a couple days after my 20th birthday. You know, he's not gonna make it, gotta go home. Went home, saw him. Spare the details, you know, I'll tell you, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. So I tell all of this though, because as I said, I'm selfish, right? And so not once during this time was I worried about the fact that my mom had just lost her partner of 35 years, that she had just retired to go travel the world with. I didn't talk about or think about my brother who put his life on hold, studying for the GMAT to go to business school, to like take care of his dying dad, right? All I was worried about is like, why is this happening to me? You know, a completely healthy college kid with all of the everything in front of him, nothing wrong with me. Why is it happening to me, right? Because that's what I care about. Why am I sad? Why do I have to be sad, you know? And after that, after he died, I'm going back to college thinking like, maybe it'll go back to normal. Not worrying about any of that other stuff that I just mentioned, right? It didn't, long story short. So I will preface the drunkalogue, or I'll summarize it by telling you that I was more than once told by members of a fraternity that I need to stop drinking. So that's kind of a good sign, right? I got sat down by them and they told me, you need to stop drinking. And so it was April 2016, I woke up, it was a Monday afternoon, I checked my phone, don't know where my phone is. At that point it was like, so I was on my fourth phone in 3 weeks, so my mom had kind of stopped giving me phones and she was just like shipping out any shit she could find, so it was like a track phone, touchscreen one, and I'd broken the touchscreen from the bottom down, or from the halfway point down, so I was like texting by guessing where the letters were, so like that's like the state of affairs, right? Everything's fine though. And I woke up and I play the game of like, where's my stuff? Where's my keys? Where's my phone? Where's my car? Did I drive last night, you know? And then I'm trying to play like, what the fuck happened yesterday? And it's a Monday afternoon. I'm trying to think about Sunday. I don't really remember Sunday. I don't really remember Saturday. You know, my last memory, just to show you really just how fucking gross it got. I'm sitting in a Chick-fil-A parking lot with a gold Four Loko in my hand, telling the guys who were getting Chick-fil-A that I couldn't get Chick-fil-A because I'd already eaten. But the reality is I just spent half the money to my name on a gold fucking Four Loko. Don't remember anything after that. My sponsor talks about his story. At the end of his drinking, someone asked him, you know, are you drunk right now? He said, yeah, I've had 18 drinks. I think I'm going to die. No one had ever asked me if I was drunk, ever. They didn't have to. I'm not the kind of guy who can black out for 72 consecutive hours and not be a fucking menace to society. You know, so I was scared. I was afraid. That pit in the stomach, right? The four horsemen they talk about. It was all right there. I didn't know what to do. I go to the Facebook group we had, you know, all the members of this fraternity, and like at the very top, it's all about me. It says, Nick Nasby, fuck you, you piece of shit, first sentence. And then just goes down all the stuff I did that weekend. You know, just person after person I hurt. Got a pool party shut down, said this to this person, did this, you know. And that hurt enough just to see that one person was saying all these things I did. But there was 87 comments on this. And I got called literally every name you can think of. Piece of shit, scumbag, douchebag. And this was my bottom, right? That was my bottom. And if you were paying attention, that's not the last time I drank. But it was my bottom because every single time this happened, and it did happen a lot, every single time it happened, my first thought is, Nick, we told ourselves we weren't going to fucking do this again. Remember? Remember when we had that conversation about not ever doing this again? And the very immediate next thought is, if you drink right now, you're not going to care. We'll do it tomorrow. But that second thought didn't come that day. For the first time. But I didn't know what to do, so I sat in my bed, and you know, my friend, you know, I just got 5 years, and the day of my 5 year anniversary, I ran into this guy walking. I was walking out of the gym, he was walking in, and I told him I had 5 years, you know. And it was like super, super emotional for me because I was sitting in my bed trying to figure out the best way to kill myself that wouldn't hurt. And he texted me, he said, Nick, you know, there's a group on campus for people who have a problem with drugs and alcohol. He told me where and when it was, but he didn't tell me to go. Because as an alcoholic, my ego likes to re-engage pretty quick. And if you tell me that I have to do something, I don't want to do it because you told him, like, who the fuck are you? You don't know me. You know, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I'll do it because I want to do it. You know, but he didn't tell me to go. I remember going to the student center, going up to the rooms, thinking everybody knew I was there, you know, on a Tuesday, middle of a fucking 40,000 person campus. Everyone knows why I'm there, you know. And I sit across the table from this guy named Dylan, and we talked about our drinking, right? We talked about our drinking, and he told me about, like, the stuff he used to do. I told him about the stuff that I was doing, the way that everyone was mad at me, why they were mad at me, all that kind of stuff. And he gave me his number. We went to a meeting. We went to this meeting in Town and Country, and going right back to just how this shit happens. You know, I was driving with my girlfriend back to her place 2 days after my anniversary, and we took a right turn. She lives in Town and Country, and I didn't know, but like the church was right there. You know, hadn't seen it in 5 years, and it like hit hard. You know, because I remember driving around the same church for 15 minutes waiting for this guy to show up. Because no way I'm going to walk in there by myself. No way. You know, he gets there. We go inside. I listened to a guy who was probably in his mid-40s talk about his story. And I related to him until he was older than me in the story. Right? So I'm 22. Guys, I haven't been arrested. Like, fuck. I don't have a wife. I haven't been divorced. Right? I don't have kids. Like, how am I supposed to relate to this guy? So I wanted to hear what I wanted to hear. That's just how it goes, you know. And so I go to meetings, some meetings, maybe one a week, maybe. You know, I meet some people, met Isaac. Hey. And, you know, but I didn't do anything. I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't do service. Got like a little mini big book, sort of related to it, kind of. Went back to my buddy's place who just so happened to sell cocaine and just didn't do it. Until I did, right? And then that last run, you know, it wasn't the worst. It wasn't the one that took me out. You know, it wasn't the one that lost me everything, but it was the one that taught me that I genuinely cannot do this thing. I cannot drink successfully. I always wanted to get drunk when I drank. Every time I drank, I wanted to get drunk. I don't understand people who don't drink to get drunk. It's fucking weird to me. You know, my mom, small Italian woman in New York, and she'll like have half a glass of wine. And she'll drink like half of that half a glass of wine. I don't get it. Wine's gross. But, you know, I always wanted to get drunk, but I never wanted to get that drunk, right? Never wanted to get that drunk. And so it all lined up kind of in a row for me to get sober, right? Started on a Tuesday. My buddy was turning 28. He said, like, let's go out to this bar. It's all you can drink. I didn't really like the guy, honestly, but like, it's all you can drink. So I figured I'd show up. And so I drive because I'm just going to have a couple and then leave. And so I go there. I pay my money. I see a couple of my drinking buddies. We start playing quarters. I wake up. Wasn't even like surprising. Shit happened all the time. And the only concerning thing was that the night before, the only memory I had was doing that. I remembered that I drove. So I go out to my car and there's like a angled fucking dent like this. Like I knew I hit a structure of some sort, you know. And that day my birth mom, her old sponsor and best friend, showed up in Tampa for a conference in Palm Harbor, and she said, hey, let's go get food. And so she picked me up. I still reek of alcohol. It's like 4:30 in the afternoon. We go to Peabody's in Tampa Palms. My buddy worked there. And he's like, dude, you were so fucked up here last night. I'm like, I wasn't here last night, Alex. What are you talking about? He's like, yeah, no, you were. You were here for 3 hours last night. And you were drunk the entire time you drove. You know, and she heard him say that stuff. And she left 20 minutes later. She left me some money. I got drunk again. I woke up the next day an hour and a half late. My mom flew down from New York to watch me graduate from college. And I was an hour and a half late to pick her up from the airport in her dented car as she sits on the curbside to the airport. There's like Polynesian sauce from Chick-fil-A streaked on the window, the passenger side. I don't know. Shit happens, I guess. She wasn't very happy with me. And, you know, the next day we all go to this Mexican restaurant. It's Vallarta's. I don't know if you guys know that one. It's in Tampa Palms as well. And it's two for ones, right? They give you two if you order one. And like, I ordered two for ones, and she took one of my ones, which is not acceptable to me, but whatever. Just let that one ride. But that woman was there with us that day, and she said, if you want, or last night when I left, I made some phone calls. And if you say yes, I got you a bed in a treatment center. We'll go on Monday. And it talks about it in the book, right? The moment of clarity, where the opportunity and the willingness meet. And that willingness, just for anybody who's curious, that has to stay, because the opportunity does go away, you know? And this was the opportunity for me, because something in my head said, Nick, if you don't do this, you're gonna die. I never thought that before. Drove blackout drunk 3 times a week. Never thought I was going to die from this. Thought I was impervious. Until that exact moment. So I said I'd think about it. I graduated on Saturday somehow, don't ask. Packed my shit on Sunday, and then Monday p.m. I'm sitting in a treatment center in Miami. And that treatment center took us to Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I walked in to my first meeting and listened to someone who is now one of my very best friends, have nothing in common with this guy, told me everything about myself. I couldn't understand it. I was like, I knew you guys drank like me. That makes sense, right? I suck at this shit. I get blacked out almost every single time I drink. But I didn't understand how he could have talked about the way that I thought about life. I didn't think you thought like me too, right? That's what kept me outside. And so I figured I just have to do what these people did, right? And so I got the sponsor. We start going through the work. First step, very simple. I'm fucked. I will drink again. That's the simplicity of it. I will get drunk. The man who walked in will drink again. But you had a solution. And so I got to do what you did to get what you got, right? These people have something going on in their eyes. They want to talk to me when I don't want to talk to them at all. They want my number. They're driving me places. They're getting me dinner. right? And all they want is for me to stay sober. Something's going on in here. So I have to do what they did. And so I put the pen to the paper and I put everything down. Good, bad, ugly, everything in between. I told that to a sponsor and it felt like shit. Right away, right? It's vulnerable. The reality of my life today is I don't have any secrets left. The beauty of the fifth step is that I have no secrets and I don't need to have more. The reality is I will, but I don't need to, right? But the person who walked in will create that stuff. And so I have to see who that person was and desire to change that person. And so the beauty of the seventh step is now I recognize who that person was and I understand my lack of control over being that person. And I develop that relationship with that higher power that allows me to realize what a character defect is. Because the truth is, I didn't even know what that was coming in. I thought it was something I had to get rid of entirely. But the truth is that I have characteristics that are God-given, but I use them defectively. And they hurt people, right? So the freedom from seven comes from the fact that I can recognize those things and I don't have to be that person anymore. I know how to not be that person, but there's a lot of people out there who I hurt being that person. And so with a perspective shift that comes in the form of humility that happened to me just enough for me to look at my family in the eyes and tell them that I did them wrong, right? Because I went through school after school, person after person. The reality is the people in my groups really didn't see that much. The only people who really dealt with me was my family. They had to deal with all of this shit. Everything that I did, all these interactions that went bad, they were at the butt end of it every single time. And so I was able to make it right. And the promises come from the fact that after the ninth step, I have nothing left. I'm walking through a new man because I've made it right and I'm prepared to make it right for the people who I wasn't able to make it right with. Everything's gone, right? I don't have to do these things anymore. 10, 11, and 12 helps me to do it on a daily basis, right? The 10th step is really just me trying not to be a dick every day, realistically. That spot check inventory, right? What is it? For me, what it is, when something happens that I don't like, I can take a pause and ask myself, what would I do if I wasn't crazy? What would I do if I wasn't insane, right? Have I done this thing before that this person has done to me? Allows me just enough time to get back to normal, right? Create that relationship with my higher power. Pray and meditate. Both of those things are important. They're imperative. It's not extra credit to meditate. You know, it's tough. It's hard. But it's part of this. It's part of this. If I'm talking to God and not listening to what he has to say, I'm doing half the work. You know, I can talk all day, but I have to listen about, you know, what's best for me. And, you know, when I got to that 12th step, you know, fast forward and just say, I didn't know what the fuck was going on when I did the steps, really. I just did what they told me to do, and I got sober. I felt that spiritual experience when I was walking a sponsee through those same steps, and we got to the 10 step promises in the book, and it talks about how that it's been removed, right? And his eyes lit up and said, that happened to me. That's when I felt it. Because I realized that everything that I do and the things that I was taught can always help someone else. Always. That's the beauty of it. I got the fuck over myself. Seriously, like that's all it really took was me stop thinking that I'm like this special motherfucker. Like I'm not. I'm just another person. I'm another alcoholic here. You know? Now, I don't know how much time I have left, but I'm going to close by saying this. You know, when I was in rehab, my birth mom's husband, Mark, who died a few years ago, one of my biggest influences when I first got sober, he I was on pass at her place, and he was like walking down the stairs, and he looks at me, he says, Nick, you know, a lot of people love you. And he said, if you do this deal, and you don't bullshit, and you don't cut corners, and you stop acting like you know everything, and you listen to what these people have to say, two things are going to happen for you. He says, you're not going to think about drinking, and you're not going to think about not drinking. And I didn't know what he meant at all. And honestly, it made me kind of mad because it was pretty confusing. But that's happened to me. I don't think about drinking today. It's not my solution to my problems. I don't think about not drinking today. When I'm not drunk, I don't think about the fact that I'm not drunk. That's all I thought about when I was drinking. You know, and if anybody in here is new and doesn't understand that concept, that's cool. We don't expect you to. You honestly shouldn't at this point. That's why you're here. But it's the truth of this program. If you do what these people say, these steps, those are steps, right? Yeah. You won't think about drinking or using whatever your thing is, and you won't think about not doing that thing. It just goes away. Can't explain it. I don't want to explain it today. I don't fucking care. It just does, you know? So I'm done talking. Thanks for letting me share.